Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Munro Dodd. On the second segment of today's show, we'll talk about a few of the famous inventors and inventions that have come out of Kansas City. Also, we'll delve into the state of invention here and find out what it takes to come up with a really good idea. With us today is Andrew Muzin, Community Relations Director for the Kansas City Museum, which has done an exhibit on local inventors. And also with us is Richard Shipley, founder and CEO of LocalStart.org. Welcome, gentlemen, to Central Standard.
Oh, thank you,
Thank you for having us.
Let's start with you, Andrew. Kansas City has quite a good share of local inventors and inventions, surprisingly so. One of the first ones that always comes to my mind is the pan that made cooking scrambled eggs so much easier, or at least cleaning up after them. Tell us about this product and its inventor.
It was invented by Marion Trezzolo.
Uh-huh.
He had operated a company called Laboratory Plasticware Fabricators, LPF, and they were using Teflon for their magnetic stirrers in their laboratory things. So he decided, well, we'll try Teflon on a frying pan. And so a lot of people were like, well, maybe you shouldn't do that. Plastic and food, two things that probably don't go together. And so he tried it anyway, and it blew up. And in the first 4 months, they sold 300,000 pieces. And now you hear about Teflon on every frying pan that you buy.
He didn't invent Teflon, but he did put it on the pan.
He put it on the pan.
Okay. So he was a Kansas City, and I believe he had taught at Rockhurst, and he also was involved in the development of the River Key, I think.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Now, there was also another Kansas Cityan who I suppose made buzz cuts possible, also crew cuts, and all manner of close-cropped hair treatment. Tell us about him.
That was Samuel Kaufman. He's one of my favorite inventors that we had in our exhibit last year. He was a tinkerer and an inventor extraordinaire who just loved to play with different things. And one of the things that he's most known for is the electric hair cutters. So if you've got a buzz cut, or like me, I've got short hair, and I think Mr. Shipley does too.
Oh,
so
yeah, it's short.
we have him to thank for that. He had a barbering company, the only one that he actually made a company out of from his inventions, and he had that. He had a head massager. He had a hair dryer. And they were supposed to all connect together and with one electric cord, and it was supposed to really make barbering a lot easier for people. And so we have him to thank for that.
That's quite a thing. Now, there are a lot of Kaufmans. The name Kaufman is common here in Kansas City. How did this man spell his?
This one was Kaufman, not our Ewing and Marion Kaufman
foundations.
Beloved Kaufman Foundation.
Now, before we go any farther with this, I want to share with you a story from Roman Mars, who's host of the podcast and radio show 99% Invisible. He brings us a story of a Kansas City inventor. It's called his name was Stoger, and this is the Stoger Switch.
Oman Brown Stoger was an undertaker of all things. Kansas City, Missouri got its first telephone exchange in 1878. Telephone service is good for local business, and the funeral business is no exception. But at some point, Almon Brown Stroger of Kansas City noticed that he wasn't getting as many calls from potential customers. He got really suspicious when a friend of the family died and he wasn't even called about performing the funeral services. The story goes, and the story is really hard to verify, but I'm going to go with it because I really like it. The story goes that after some poking around, Stroger discovered that the wife of a rival undertaker in the area was an operator for the local telephone company. At the time, telephones were connected manually by female operators patching lines together on a gigantic punch board. Someone would pick up the receiver, asking for the local undertaker in general, or even Stroger in particular, and in this case, the unscrupulous operator would only connect the call to her husband's undertaking business, not to Stroger's. And Stroger figured it out. If you are Almon Brown Strowger, Kansas City Undertaker, there are a few ways you can go when you discover something like this. Number one, and it's number one for a reason, because it makes the most sense. You can contact the local telephone company and alert them about the dishonest operator in their employ. Maybe even get her fired. Number two, you can take her and her husband to civil court. Try to sue for damages or something. Or there's always option number three. You can invent an automatic telephone switching system that allows people to dial each other directly, eliminating any need for a telephone switchboard operator and thereby completely revolutionizing the entire telephone system forever. Almon Brown Strowger, the Undertaker, went with option number three. He wasn't the first to come up with the idea, but his concept was the first automatic switcher that worked for more than a handful of phones within a system. He was awarded a patent in 1891. Of course, he didn't know how to make the thing. He was an undertaker, if I haven't stressed that enough already. Strowger conscripted his nephew and some business partners to help develop a working prototype. It cost more and took longer than anyone anticipated, but they finally got it working, and they finally got a chance to try it out in the real world. LaPorte, Indiana became the first place to have automatic, operator-free telephone dialing. In a speech at the unveiling of the LaPorte Telephone Exchange, the cantankerous Strowger addressed the issue of the hello girls, the operators who would lose their jobs because of his automated switch. Quote, "I'm often told that the telephone girls will be angry with me for robbing them of their occupation. In reply, I say that all things will adjust themselves to the new order. Water will find its level. The telephone replaced the messenger boy, as this machine now displaces the telephone girl. Improvements will continue to the end of time, strike where they may." The Bell Telephone Company eventually acquired the technology in 1916, and the Strowger switch, as it was called, became standard equipment throughout the 20th century.
That was Roman Mars, host of the show 99% Invisible, and his topic was the cantankerous Mr. Strowger, former Kansas City funeral home operator and Kansas City inventor. Now, the show 99% Invisible is about design. You can find it on iTunes or our website later this afternoon. Richard Shipley of localstart.org, why has Kansas City seen so much of this kind of creativity?
I really think it has to do with our culture. You know, the title of the show was about inventions, and it really got me thinking about the fact that we have such a culture of creation in this town. We don't really have a culture of inventors. What we have is a culture of people who have a passion to create. I mean, you think a primary example, right, is a place now that will hold an art district and have the best party every first Friday, right? An entire district dedicated to art, right? Those aren't necessarily just artists. They're people who have a passion to create, and art happens to be their outlet, right? And, yeah, it just seems it's really inherent in our culture, and we always seem to have a bit of grit. You have to have a bit of grit to stick with those things, right? So, you know, that's a great story, the fact that it took him longer than anybody else to get it, but he got, you know, put the right team together, set a goal, and knocked it out, right?
And I like the use of that word cantankerous. It strikes me as an inventive sort,
yeah,
the way
exactly, right?
An inventor might act.
Exactly.
Andrew Muzin of the Kansas City Museum, in the late 1800s, Kansas City was fortunate to have a very inventive fire chief named George Hale. Tell us about some of his work.
Mr. Hale was an incredible firefighter and fire chief who had about 60 patents just on firefighting and stuff. And he took his company to different competitions around the world, especially in Europe, and he would win every competition. He basically took down the amount of time it took to put out a fire with all of his different tools and inventions. Mm-hmm. He was also another inventor in a different light because he also had a love for film. Mm-hmm. And so he created a tour at Electric Park called Hale's Tours, which basically is the precursor for the Star Tours or Body Wars tours that you'll take at Disney World or Disneyland, where you sit in a chair, you have the movie theater or the movie screen right in front of you, and the chair moves around while you're watching this. This came from him back way back in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
So he was an incredible inventor as well. And going off of what you were saying, you know, there's a very commonality with all of these inventors and how they just have this idea and they just kind of run with it and really play with and tinker with different things.
Right.
Mr. Hale would do that with fire equipment. He would continuously make improvements to it. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kaufman the same way. You know, he would find, you know, a new thing to add to his barbering tools or any of his other inventions as well. So it's that idea of tinkering and just continuing to try to find improvements with stuff.
Yeah.
Richard Shipley, a lot of us have probably ended after our day's work thinking, well, you know, it'd be a good idea if we did such and such like that, mm-hmm. and we haven't acted on it.
Yeah.
We go home, we read the paper, we watch TV, we go to bed, and we don't act on it. Inventors, though, have to will that thing. These guys who become famous,
yeah.
It takes a different personality set to do that, doesn't
and,
it?
And the people that create, it's not so much that they are driven by it as much as often you can't get it out of your head, right? I mean, you know, any of us that have started up projects and you know, you'd go home and you'd try and watch TV, for instance, right? But you can't watch it because you got this thing just boring away at your head, right? You can't get it out. And, you know, it's the type of people that you see. I mean, you go down to Maker's Faire, for instance, for a contemporary view, right? We've got one of the largest Maker's Faire in the country now, all right? I'm pretty sure we're up to like 30,000 people went through the Union Station in 2 days last year. I mean, and this year it's June 28th and 29th. But you go down and it's amazing. I mean, you know, people that just have the smallest idea. I mean, and the places that they build these things, these maker spaces, right? Maker spaces and hacker spaces, you know, places where there's a community where you can pay a monthly fee and have access to more equipment than you could ever buy on your own. Right, but then you also get access to the people that know it and are going to support you. Right, so a good example of somebody that I've seen that you look at it, you're like, it's a funny invention. Right, was somebody that they had made an animatronic tail to wear while they're walking around Maker Faire. He's got a backpack on, and the tail's about, I don't know, probably 3-4 feet long, and it just wags. Right. So you think about, you know, we talk about really intense inventions, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also joyful. You know, it's things that, you know, boy, I have the equipment and know-how. And the best part about it was the majority of the parts, I think, were all printed out on a 3D printer, right? So there wasn't having to go out. It's that new technology, that third industrial revolution that we've heard come up in recent weeks and months, actually. The last year or so, really, the technology that's closing that gap where it used to be people that could not invent, people that had that idea and just had to live with it because they didn't have the resources to do it. Those resources are now available. You know, they're more widely available every day. So closing that gap between who can and cannot is that gap's getting much smaller, and it's a beautiful thing. It really is, because I think we're going to see more innovation, right? The people that have that idea but don't know how, they now have access to the resources to make that possible.
An invention that can start as a whimsy, like the wagging tail you're talking about, sometimes may take a circuitous path until we finally say, gosh, that guy invented that? That woman did that? That's an amazing thing, and it didn't really start out that way.
Exactly.
Isn't that how an invention can happen also?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it a lot of it that comes out of KC, and I think it's generally most places, but, you know, Kansas City tends to come up with things that are new twists on old stuff, you know. Now, there are some very raw examples, and Andrew, I'm sure you could give us some really, really good ones. But, you know, you think about, for instance, Mickey Mouse, Walt Disney, right? Laugh-O-Gram Studios, right? I don't think there's a 3-year-old in the U.S. that doesn't know that mouse, right? Mm-hmm. As no mine certainly does. Both my boys do. So, you know, it comes from a passion to create. And the fact that those resources are now becoming more and more available is a good thing, I think.
Matt called in from South Kansas City to share that he feels that creativity is only part of the secret to invention. He feels problem solving is perhaps even more important.
Agreed.
How do we define that?
Yeah. Well, problem solving is really, yeah. I've heard that continually, that you know, the good idea is really only a fraction of the way there. You've got to be able to knock the problems down to get in your way to be able to do it. And you got to have the grit to continue with it. You know, when that first hurdle comes, being able to see it and not let it stop you. And that's where it sets the people apart.
Andrew, what other famous Kansas City inventions do you have on your list today, the people who weren't going to be daunted?
Oh, one of the ones that we actually had exhibited at Art of the Chopper exhibit at Union Station is one of Kansas City's first motorcycles.
Right.
And the guy... he was 20 years old at the time, and he wanted to go fast, which
that
at
happens,
20
right?
years old, you kind of want to sometimes. So he wanted to create his own motorcycle, and he took some pieces together. And from what some researchers have found, that it's more like an Orient motorcycle that was created back early 1900. Mm-hmm. And... it had canvas wheels. It had some just really intricate type of stuff on it, and it went 60 miles an hour, 35 miles per gallon.
Right.
Hey, if I could get 35 miles per gallon, that would
That's
be
right.
fantastic. So, yeah. he had that you know, that will to. Figure out a way to make himself go fast, and he had that idea in his head, and he couldn't get away from it, and it took him 2 years, and he finally found a way to go fast.
It's like the Stanley brothers, right? I mean, you think about it, and they're not a Kansas City reference, but the Stanley brothers that were used to work with steam engines, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They owned a canoe company, right? But they broke the first land record for a steam car, and it was back in the late 1800s. It was over 100 miles an hour. They drove it on a beach. And the body of the canoe was the body of the car was a wood canoe that they turned upside down, right? They drove through the streets and they'd wave smoke at it, you know, pulling it behind a horse to see which design got the best aerodynamics. And it was revolutionary for the time. But you think about it, right? 100 miles an hour in a wood canoe.
That's amazing. In the few minutes we have remaining, let's go to Beth from Olathe. Good morning, Beth. Good morning, Beth. I apologize. I have lost Beth's phone call. If Beth wants to call back real fast, she can, and I will apologize to her even more. Andrew, who else have you got on your list?
Oh, I mean, Kansas City has several. We've got Samuel Ruckel, who was a carpenter by trade, but he was really kind of a nomad who traveled several different places around the state or the country and then landed here in Kansas City and made fixes to hinges on a school desktop.
Mm-hmm.
So for the seat. So if you've ever sat in a school desktop seat and it folds up, you've got Mr. Ruckel to thank for that.
Yeah.
And he played with fruit pickers on ways to cut off the fruit from trees a little bit better. Butter churns.
Yeah.
Just a lot of different things. He just liked to tinker. And like I said, he was a nomad. He went off and tried to find gold in Colorado and found created an invention to help with that. And
right.
So a lot of just unique, different people from Kansas City.
Yeah. Some contemporary. There to see some stuff that's been done recently. I mean, we look at, there's a company called Neighborly, right? Mm-hmm. And they took crowdsourcing and used it to solve civic problems.
Wow. And that's all the time we have for today, unfortunately. I want to thank our guests, Andrew Musen, Community Relations Manager for the Kansas City Museum, and Richard Shipley, founder and CEO of LocalStart.org. Earlier in the show, we talked with Dan Verbeck, retiring after 4 decades of radio reporting. You can listen to this program again, subscribe to our podcast, or listen to any of our previous programs at kcur.org/centralstandard. Join us again Monday as we sit down with the Cash Money Crew to talk financial advice when you start your second or maybe even more, marriage and other things. Up to Date is next with a look at the first robotics competition and a new labyrinth rising in front of the Nelson Atkins Museum. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Christy Garten with Kate Baxendale. I'm Munro Dodd. This is KCUR, and enjoy your weekend.